Hi, I'm Nick Gillespie for Reason TV, and today we're talking with Brian Kaplan, an economist at George Mason University and the author most recently of Selfish Reasons to Have More Kids. Brian, thanks for joining us.
Thanks so much for having me.
I want to start by reading a famous Philip Larkin verse, the conservative English poet. This be the verse: they fuck you up, your mom and dad. They may not mean to, but they do. They fill you with the faults they had and add some extra just for you. But they were fucked up in their turn by fools in old-style hats and coats who half the time were soppy stern and half at one another's throats. Man hands on misery to man, it deepens like coastal shelf. Get out as early as you can and don't have any kids yourself. Where is Philip Larkin wrong?
Wow. The main way that he's wrong is thinking that the reason why being messed up runs in families is upbringing. Mm-hmm. Right? So it is true that unhappy people tend to have unhappy kids.
Right.
But adoption twin research tell us that the reason is heredity.
If it's determined by genetics, what are the options?
Well, I mean, there's a key difference here between saying that genes explain family resemblance and genes explain everything.
Right.
So family resemblance is far from perfect. So there's plenty of wiggle room for all kinds of things to be going on. Really, what adoption twin research tell us is that whatever reason people differ from what you'd expect from their genes, it's not because of the way they're raised, but
it is environmental then on some level. So what are the types of, if it's not the way you're raised, what are the interventions that change people from a genetic predisposition?
So that's a great question. And the answer is there's very little known about this. Mm-hmm. Whenever someone puts forward a specific story about what else is going on besides genes, usually turns out that the effect is small or just non-existent. So really the way that I would describe things is, according to the best science we have, people are product of genes plus question mark.
Right.
And the question mark is big, it's a lot of stuff. And the way we know this is identical twins raised together are still far from identical in any interesting way.
What is the most promising inquiry into those question marks? What seems to be the most thing, if it's not parental intention? What's the biggest X factor that we might be able to start identifying?
Well, one that is probably never going to get its proper credit, but I think deserves a lot, is free will. Mm-hmm. Our ability to change others is overestimated. Our ability to change ourselves is underestimated. Mm-hmm. When I take a look at my identical twins, they mm-hmm. genetically the same, raised together, yet they're different. And a lot of times I think one is just making a better choice than the other one, or at least a different choice. So the scientific study of free will is greatly underdeveloped, but I don't think that it should be dismissed. I think that I think there's a lot more going on there than what most people are willing to admit.
What's the upside of having kids?
There I would say there are so many different reasons. Mm-hmm. There are as many different reasons as there are people. The reason why I called my book Selfish Reasons mm-hmm. to Have More Kids rather than to have kids is I just want to say, look, there's a lot of evidence out there that parents have much less effect on their kids than they think, mm-hmm. which means that a lot of parental sacrifice and suffering is unnecessary. Mm-hmm. You can raise the kids that you are going to have in a much less painful way.
Right.
Here I'm focusing more on painful for the parents.
Right.
Which means that the kids you want are cheaper than you think. Mm-hmm. Right. So here I'm thinking just like a typical economist saying, look, if it turns out that something's 25% cheaper than you thought, you might want to put more in your cart.
Right.
And it turns out that you can raise kids without giving up your favorite hobbies. You might want to have a kid that you weren't going to have. You might want to have another kid.
And I mean, part of this is, I think in your book or in discussions about the book, you point out how if you are, if you're miserable and the kid mm-hmm. is miserable, dragging them to Taekwondo or soccer mm-hmm. or piano lessons, don't do it.
That's right. So, I mean, really the no-brainer is if you don't like something, your kid doesn't like it, and there's no long-run benefit, don't do it.
Well, now, of course, this is, you've engaged in debates with Amy Chua mm-hmm. of Tiger Mom fame,
yes.
where she seems to be taking the exact opposite position, which is that if it bothers the kid, do it. But certainly, the way you get your kid to Carnegie Hall by the time they're 12 is by kicking their ass, and also meaning that the parent also has to regiment her life. Where is Chua wrong?
Well, the first place where she's wrong is in attributing her daughter's success to parenting. Mm-hmm. There's a basic fact here. Amy Chua is a Yale Law professor and a best-selling author.
Right.
Her husband is also a Yale Law professor and a best-selling author. The first chance I get, I said, is there some possibility, there's some connection between the incredible success of you and your husband and the fact that your daughters are successful? And she just said, well, that isn't what the book was about. But I say it should be. That's what the book should have been about. Mm-hmm. Did she really think that she could just take a random adoptee and turn him or her into a musical prodigy? Now, I wouldn't.
Same token, mm-hmm. I mean, musical prodigies don't just present themselves. Mm-hmm. I mean, her daughter might have perfect pitch or whatever, but unless she's in lessons, unless she's in a slipstream mm-hmm. to show up at Carnegie Hall or wherever, it's not going to happen, right?
Right. Well, I mean, here's what I say is there is an important exception for things where you have to start doing them really young in order to become successful. So to become an Olympic athlete or a musical prodigy, right. If your parents aren't willing to get up at 4 a.m, then you can't do it. Right. Of course, most people, even if their parents did get up at 4 a.m, they still wouldn't be able to do it.
You know, one of the things, if you're a libertarian and a parent, as I am, as you are, one of the things you get thrown in your face is, I was a libertarian until I had kids. Or, libertarians can't be parents because they either hate kids or they refuse to discipline them or structure their lives. What's the connection between your insights from the book and libertarian thought?
Right. So, I mean, one thing that libertarians have known for a long time is there's a very big difference between intentions and results. Mm-hmm. Just because someone intends to raise their kid in a certain way doesn't mean the child really will. And what adoption and twin research bear out is, in fact, just because people are struggling really hard to mold their children into a certain shape mm-hmm. doesn't mean that it's going to work. And in general, it works much less than people expect. Really, the libertarian perspective that every child is an independent individual mm-hmm. and is going to make his own choices is borne out by the science to an amazing extent. Mm-hmm. Politics is also is a very strong genetic component. Mm-hmm. So if you really want to do something for the future of liberty, I would say have more kids. Just by having them, you can increase the number of libertarians. Even if you give them up for adoption, even if you're donating sperm, there are significant odds that child will grow up to be a libertarian. Someone will care about liberty. You know, general rule, you know, like any group that does not value having kids dies out. Mm-hmm. Right. So, and libertarians should take this to heart.
You have 3 children yourself. Mm-hmm. How many more are you going to have?
Well, it's not entirely up to me. And my wife and I are both about 40. I'd like to have more, but I don't know if it's in the cards. I can hope.
All right. Well, thank you very much, Brian Kaplan, author of Selfish Reasons to Have More Kids, GMU economist. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. It's been a great pleasure.
For Reason TV, I'm Nick Gillespie.